Hello and welcome to Unlimited Realities. I'm your host, Lisa Zimmer, and I'm thrilled to bring our guest with us today. Her name is Susan Shumsky, Dr. Susan Shumsky, and I have three books in front of me to get into with Susan today. Let me tell you a little bit about Dr. Susan Shumsky. She's dedicated her entire life to helping people take control and command of their lives and to be highly effective, powerful people. She's the author of 10 books, published in Simon & Schuster, Random House, and New Page, a pioneer in the human potential field, and has spent more than 45 years teaching thousands of people meditation, prayer, affirmation, and intuition. Her book titles include Miracle Prayer, Divine Revelation, Exploring Meditation, Exploring Auras, Exploring Chakras, How to Hear the Voice of God, Ascension, Instant Healing, The Power of Auras, and The Power of Chakras. Whew! Dr. Shumsky is a highly respected spiritual teacher, award-winning author, and founder of Divine Revelation, a unique field-proven technology for contacting the divine presence, hearing and testing the inner voice, and receiving clear divine guidance. For 22 years, her mentor, the Maharishi Mahesh Yogi, guru of the Beatles and Deepak Chopra, where she served on Maharishi's personal staff for 7 years. Susan, you are one busy lady. So without further ado, audience, let me bring our guest today, Dr. Susan Shumsky. Welcome, Susan. Thank you for being my guest on Unlimited Realities.
I am thrilled to be here with you today, Lisa.
Well, thank you. This is quite, you have left quite the legacy. I tell you, this is quite an array of books that you've really focused on teaching others really how to not only raise their vibration, but to recognize what their vibration is. And I find that that's really so necessary when we bump around in this world that we do, and so many are unconscious to really what energy they're walking around with. So let's start with energy, okay? Because so much of what you write about is explaining that there is this viable energy that we are and we live among. And let's just get right into that. Talk to us, Susan, about what energy is.
Well, energy, life force energy, that which gives life to ourselves and which gives life to the entire universe, that is called prana. Prana, P-R-A-N-A, it's a Sanskrit word. And you probably have heard of qi, which is spoken about in China, or qi from Japan. That's the same thing. It's life force energy. It is the life of this universe. It is the life that we breathe. It's the life that is within us and all around us. And this life force energy, we imbibe it. Every time we take a breath, it's in the air. It's in the sunlight. It's in water, when we drink water, even if we swim in water, and also it is in the food that we eat, and we imbibe more of this pranic energy or this life force energy if we chew the food until it's liquefied, then we are obtaining as much of this pranic energy as we possibly can from our food. That's why it's so important for us to eat live foods rather than processed, packaged foods. So this life force energy we can also obtain from spiritually evolved individuals. If we're around them, if we're in their presence, then we get this life force energy or this pranic energy by osmosis. People who are very charismatic, such as maybe movie stars, people that are maybe politicians, people that are quite famous, celebrities, many of them have a tremendous amount of pranic energy. That's why we like to be around them, why we like to be near them, why we like to see them. If you increase that prana in your energy field, if you have more prana, then you'll be more successful. You'll be more charismatic. People will want to be around you. You'll be more attractive. So that's why prana is the key to so many things in life. Specifically, the key to health, the key to well-being, to success, to happiness, to being magnetically attractive.
And when we recognize the energy within us, our prana, do we recognize first the subtleties of it, or oftentimes do we recognize the outbursts of it? Because sometimes I know people need to be shocked into awakening with the energy within them, and sometimes it's not always a gentle nudge. Would you agree?
Well, there is a specific kind of energy called kundalini. It's a specific kind of pranic energy which is involved with spiritual awakening. The word kundalini is based upon a Sanskrit root, which is kundal, which means curled up. And this is a curled up energy, which is at the base of your spine. And they say it's curled up because it's asleep. It's not, it's dormant in average individuals. But if we practice some spiritual practices, then very quickly that kundalini will begin to rise up the spine through a specific energy conduit in our subtle body, and that will awaken our subtle senses such as clairvoyance, clairaudience, clairsentience. That would be our subtle sense of seeing, of feeling, and of hearing. And then we will become more spiritually awake, we'll become more aware. But I have to say that in normal, average individuals, kundalini is basically completely asleep. And that even that conduit of energy through which it normally flows, which is called sushumna, even that is completely closed off at the bottom. And the person is just interested only in material life, in survival needs. And
right.
They're not interested even in intellectual pursuits whatsoever.
Right.
So that's just, but yes, when you're talking about shocking, sometimes the kundalini can be experienced as a kind of a shocking experience, but in most people, if it's awakened, it's quite pleasurable, actually.
Now, there are a lot of, in fact, your book, The Seven Chakras, it talks a lot about the kundalini and how to work with the kundalini energy and how to discover the subtle body and energy field. Now, and there's a lot that's out there specifically focused in, you know, groups and workshops on enhancing, tapping in, you know, evolving the kundalini. And you've got some exercises and some breathing and meditation areas that you get into. Now, when people put their attention on the kundalini chakra, which is at the base of your spine and in your body, and it's the first root chakra that you talk about in your chakra book. What often is triggered in them? When you were just talking about it, you said a lot of people walk around not really understanding or even aware of that aspect in their body as awakened. So oftentimes that's considered kind of our primal root, would you say? And oftentimes it triggers a lot of our primal aspects of ourselves that maybe we need to tune into. How could that be triggered, or what would that awaken within us when we start to work on that chakra?
Mm-hmm. So the Muladhara chakra, which is located at the base of, it's in your tailbone area. Now, when I say that, if you were to dissect a corpse, you would not find a chakra or a nadi. Chakra means these wheels of energy or plexuses of energy,
right,
which are concentrated centers of prana, concentrated centers of this life force energy, which regulate your physical body and which also are involved with your spiritual awakening. Well, if you were to dissect a corpse, you would not find any of this. You wouldn't
right.
find the chakra. You wouldn't find prana.
Right.
You would not find the nadi or the meridians through which this life force energy flows. The reality is that we are being run by our subtle body, not our physical body. The physical body is just a corpse. It has no inherent life force energy in it. It is said in the ancient scriptures of India that when prana is in the body, that is what is defined as life. And when prana leaves the body, that is what is defined as death. So at death, the pranic body, that energy body, withdraws from the physical body. and it moves onward. And it will eventually move into your next incarnation because your subtle body never dies. It continues to live from lifetime to lifetime. That is why, for example, your skills, your talents that you have developed in one lifetime will continue into the next one. That's the reason why there are child prodigies, for example. So this Muladhara chakra, which you mentioned, the root chakra, that's where Kundalini is resting. That's where Kundalini resides when it has not been awakened. However, through some spiritual practices or some spiritual methods, such as pranayama, for example, breathing exercises, as they say in the yoga practices, well, when you begin to use some of these pranayama exercises or some of what we call the bandhas, which are muscular locks,
okay,
or if we use some other means by which to lift Kundalini, such as yoga asanas or postures, yoga postures, which have become quite popular recently. They're done, you know. There's a lot of yoga classes, and people think
right.
that that's all that yoga is exercises on a mat. But in fact, there's a lot more to yoga than that. But if we use some of these practices, then we awaken Kundalini, particularly if we meditate. Meditation
okay.
is probably the most powerful way to raise Kundalini because when we meditate, our breathing, our breath becomes very refined. And in order for Kundalini to flow through that Sushumna Nadi, which is the specific conduit of subtle energy through which Kundalini flows and through which Kundalini rises, in order for that to happen, our prana in our breathing has to become very, very refined. And that's what happens when you go into deep meditation, into the state that we call samadhi. Samadhi means evenness of mind and body. And that takes place when we are in a deep, deep state of meditation and we're barely breathing.
Okay.
So that barely breathing state, that refined breathing state, helps to raise Kundalini.
And is there a sensation or feeling that comes over you once you have that rising, that evolution of the Kundalini? Would you feel more settled? Would you feel more at peace? Would you feel warm? Would you feel tingly?
I'm so glad you asked that. So, you know, it was 1966. I was a hippie. I lived in the San Francisco Bay Area. And
that
I was
sounds like a
child.
Great,
and
probably great preface for a great story, I'll tell you.
And I was a flower child. And probably people don't know that those of us who were flower children, we were really serious about our spiritual evolution and spiritual enlightenment and awakening. That's what we were doing. And we had these gurus. There was Timothy Leary, who told us, turn on, tune in, drop out. There was Richard
right.
Alpert, and he later became Ram Dass. And he went off to study with a great spiritual master named Neem Karoli Baba. And so when we were in that place at that time, I was personally studying the Buddhist texts. I was studying Autobiography of a Yogi by Paramahansa Yogananda. I was studying The Way of Zen by Alan Watts and other works by Alan Watts. And
uh-huh.
as I was reading these works, I found that Alan Watts said that you have to find a meditation guide. Well, Lisa, in 1966 in Berkeley, California, you didn't go to the yellow pages to find meditation guide. However, I was really kind of desperate to find one, so I asked my roommate, and he said, well, have you ever tried to meditate yourself? And I said, well, I guess I'll give it a shot. So I lay
uh-huh.
down on my bed. I had no clue what I was doing. I didn't even know you're supposed to sit up when you meditate.
Right.
I lay down on my bed, and I sort of prayed for or asked for a meditation, quote, unquote. And so then immediately I was propelled into an ecstatic state, and I was feeling this cord of energy rushing from the tips of my toes all the way to the top of my head. I felt like I was plugged into an electric socket.
Wow.
In a very ecstatic way, by the way. It was not a, you know, a feeling of being electrocuted. It was just a feeling that was very pleasurable, that was very ecstatic. And this incredible energy was flowing through my body. I felt like I was plugged into this flow, into this stream of very, very powerful life force energy. So I concluded, well, I guess this is meditation. Little did I know that I had just had my first Kundalini experience. I had just had my first meditation experience and my first Kundalini experience. So Kundalini will often feel as though there is energy flowing up your spine or up your body. It goes upwards, and sometimes it feels like electric current. Sometimes it feels like a fire, like you're on fire.
Right.
And, in fact, it's sometimes called the mystic coil or the fire, the serpent power. There's different names for Kundalini. And it those just describe the kind of experiences of when Kundalini is awakened. And unfortunately, some people end up in the psychiatrist's office as a result of their Kundalini awakening because they get very frightened. They don't know what's happening.
Right, right.
So then the doctor gives them drugs, and then they no longer have their spiritual experiences, unfortunately.
Because if anything is not able to be explained medically, there's going to be a medication they want to put you on. And when somebody is walking into these spiritual aspects that you're explaining here in great detail, and I'm loving this, you're giving the audience such a great handle on things here. There's this piece of kind of like, you know, you're going through the spiritual growth, you know, blind. And so when these sensations mm-hmm. and feelings happen, it can be a little overwhelming and unknowing where to go to turn to get some answers or support or like, you know, hey, it's okay, that'll pass, it'll start to resonate, you'll get into another higher vibration, it'll all work out. And, this is a great understanding of how Kundalini is working once we tap into that energy. So let's work with the rest of the chakras in your book, and as we're moving up the Kundalini, we're moving into the creative chakra. It's got an orange little color to it. Can we talk a little bit about that one as we move into the solar plexus and the heart and upward?
Mm-hmm. So the Muladhara chakra is the base chakra. And by the way, that word is pronounced chakra. And in order for you to try to remember how to pronounce that word, I suggest that people think of the chakra as a wheel, right? It's round, it's a wheel, it's a round thing. It actually means wheel in Sanskrit. That's because it has a hub and it has spokes. It has a hub of, it is a hub of energy, and the spokes are the radiations of pranic energy. So a chakra, round thing, sort of looks like a pizza pie, right? So just think of Chuck E. Cheese's pizza. Chuck E. Cheese's pizza chakra. Then you'll know how to pronounce the word chakra. And I don't know how in the world suddenly everybody started pronouncing it wrong, but it is a Sanskrit word. I do know how it's spelled in Sanskrit. I do know the Sanskrit alphabet, and I do know that it's pronounced chakra. So let's learn how to pronounce it correctly. So, all right, so we have the Muladhara chakra, which is the base chakra. Then we have the second chakra, which is called Svadhisthana, and that is our sacral chakra, or pelvic chakra, which is involved with the sexual activity. It is the trigger point for that is in the gonads. All of the chakras are located along the spinal canal, spinal column, but there are trigger points that are in the front of the body as well. So, for example, for the Muladhara chakra, that one is regulating your organs of elimination, such as your bowels and your kidneys and all of that. The second chakra, or the sacral or pelvic chakra, that is involved with your sexual activity. Your third chakra, called Manipura, that is involved with your digestive system, the fire of digestion and that kind of thing, and that's in your navel area. And then there's Anahata chakra, which is your heart chakra. that's involved with all those organs around the heart area. And then your fifth chakra is your throat chakra, and that is right in your cervical area. That's in your right around near the Adam's apple area. And that one is involved with your creative expression and with your ability to be creative and to communicate with others. And then the sixth chakra, called the Ajna, that is in your pineal gland. It's actually located there. And its trigger point is in the forehead. And that one is involved with developing your higher wisdom and your intuition. And then the seventh chakra is above your head, and that is called Sahasrara chakra. And that one is what they call the thousand petal lotus. Now, each one of these chakras is regulating endocrine glands, regulating your body, keeping you alive. If you didn't have your chakras, you would not be walking around. You would not be alive. But that's kind of amazing that, in fact, our subtle body is what's running our physical body. And these are the seven major chakras. In my book called The Power of Chakras, which we've been talking about today, in this book, The Power of Chakras, what I did, when my publisher asked me to write this book, I was like clueless, like, what am I going to do writing a whole huge book about chakras? So what I did is I went back to the ancient scriptures of India to find the most authentic information that I could find about this topic, about this subject, because this is not something that a New Age guru made up. Chakras is not something that was invented right. In the year 2000. It's something that's been around for thousands and thousands of years. It's used in Ayurvedic medicine. It's used in Chinese medicine. So I needed to find out what was the deep subject, what was the esoteric subject, what do I want to bring out to people that no one has brought out before. And this book, you're going to find information that you cannot find or locate anywhere else, because those ancient scriptures never were published in English. They're often found on the internet translated into English, however. So I was able to read the original texts in English, but even reading them in English, you cannot decipher them unless you understand Sanskrit. So I understood enough Sanskrit so that I could decipher them. And what I found was that they discussed 14 chakras in these texts. And there's the seven major chakras, and then there's seven other chakras. And those seven other chakras, most of them are in the head or above the head. But there's seven major ones that I just briefly described. And then there's these seven other ones. So all of these are I have actually one chapter per chakra that goes into such details about every one of these 14 chakras. Plus, I have, I don't know how many other chakras, other chapters in this book. I think a total of like 23 chapters in this book, but 14 of those chapters are describing each chakra separately and in such huge detail copiously illustrated, so that you can really learn about this subject and about the chakras in a very deep and profound way.
It really is. You have a great overview. And and it really shows, you know, you really go into a tremendous amount of detail, from sound vibration and musical note,
right.
Western, Sanskrit. I mean, it goes in great, great detail. So it's a wonderful book, The Power of Chakras, and Susan Shumsky, Dr. Susan Shumsky. Now, like I said earlier in the beginning of the show, I have three, your publisher sent me three of your books. I have The Power of Chakras, I have The Power of Auras, and I have Instant Healing. So as we're talking about our energy and unlocking our seven energy centers for healing, happiness, and transformation, let's start to move now into your book. I think The Power of Auras would be a nice segue, don't you, in regard to utilizing our energy. So let's segue now into The Power of Auras and talk a little bit about this, because this is actually tapping into the energy field for clarity and peace of mind and well-being, and that is so very necessary and actually not as hard as many of us think, is it, Susan?
Mm-hmm. No, actually. And the human energy field consists of several different layers. And in order for us to be happy, healthy, and successful, we need for our energy field to be strong and powerful. And in my book, The Power of Auras, I teach a lot about how to heal the human energy field, which for many of us, for most of us really, we have problems with different aspects of our energy field, specifically with our mental body, which may have many different mental emotional body, let's call it, which often has a lot of difficult anomalies in it, shall we say, which come from our negative thinking, our negative feelings, and so on. So I teach a lot of healing methods, healing affirmative prayers, healing affirmations, so that helps people to lift their energy field, to make it clear, to keep it pristine, so that we will feel better. We'll feel better emotionally, mentally, and physically.
And with the power of auras, you also describe a lot of how people start to see people's auras. Because I get this question a lot about people who start to see different hues around people, or they start to see colors come in around people, and some are a little frightened. So let's talk a little bit about how this shows up and what it looks like for people.
Exactly. So every one of your listeners, I promise you, every one of your listeners can sense or see auras, every one of them. And for most people, it's easier to feel auras than to see them. And those who can see auras, for most of them, it's easier to see them with eyes closed rather than with eyes open. So there's a lot of ways to sense or to experience auras without actually seeing, clairvoyantly seeing with your eyes open. There's actually very few people who can see them with eyes open. But I'm going to give you a couple of little exercises that you could do to help you to see them with eyes open.
Great.
So, yeah. So for most people, they can tell, they can sense. When they first meet someone, for example, you can sense, you know, what's that person like? You just get a good vibe from that person, or you get a bad vibe, or you feel that person's really closed down, that person's really defensive, or that person is really open, really loving. You feel like you want to get to know that person. You feel connected to them, or you feel repulsed by them. I mean, there's a lot of things that people just sense immediately when they first meet somebody. Or when they see a friend, they can tell right away how that person's feeling. That would be being able to sense through feeling what a person's aura is like, what a person is going through at that time. Now, if you want to be able to see an aura, I would suggest that you sit with a friend and just sit in front of each other. Just put your chair so that you're facing each other. And then you just simply close your eyes, both of you, and you begin to read the aura. In other words, you begin to see with your subtle vision what is in that aura, and you can begin to receive messages about what's in the aura. Now, I suggest that before you try to do that you just take a few deep breaths and get quiet and centered and balance within yourself, and maybe take a few more deep breaths and just get really, really quiet and really still. And then you'll be able to see or feel, you could also feel, or even hear words about what's in the aura and receive messages about what is in your friend's auric field. And I would bet that it's easier for most of your listeners listening to this show, it's easier for you to do this with eyes closed than with eyes open. Now, if you want to develop your ability to see auras with eyes open, I suggest you use an exercise that we call the mirror gazing exercise. And that is you sit in a darkened room or completely in the dark, and you just stare at your own reflection in a mirror. And so you just place your attention on your own forehead in the mirror with what we call soft focus vision. What do I mean by soft focus vision? In order to see auras, you have to be able to see with soft focus vision, actually. When we are looking at an object in our environment, usually we're focused, the two eyes converge on one point. Okay? But in fact, we do have two eyes. And each eye is seeing separately. We're actually seeing separate images through each eye. So if you do not converge your eyes, if you just allow your eyes to completely relax and not focus hard on any given point, what will happen is you're kind of seeing with double vision almost. You know, mm-hmm. The two eyes are seeing separately. Mm-hmm. Now, if you've ever seen one of these magic eye pictures where you see a lot of different colors and shapes and everything, and then you stare at it with soft focus vision, and then immediately you'll see it. And then if you stare at it for a while, you're going to see a 3D picture emerge from these little shapes. You'll see some object embedded in this artistic thing called a magic eye picture. So that will help you develop the soft focus vision as well by using the magic eye photos. So that is how to begin to see auras. If you're looking in that mirror at yourself with the soft focus vision in the dark,
wonderful.
Or you could even, or even if you're in a place where you're going to a conference or watching somebody on stage, you know, someone giving a lecture, for example, and
right.
If that person is against a white background, and you just stare with soft focus vision at that person's forehead or at the curve of their neck, you're going to begin to see some energy around the person. And eventually you'll be able to see some colors.
You know, I have a good story with that, Susan. I was at a Crosby, Stills, and Nash concert, and David Crosby just, I mean, he was like engulfed in this green, yellow light, and it was like, and I was straight. So it was quite an experience. Experience for me.
Awesome.
But that is, it's quite a startling when it happens, like, because I was like, I think I was like 21 when it happened. And it was quite an experience because it was the first time I ever saw it so brilliantly. And then I thought, well,
right.
You know, he must have been feeling really colorful. So it came through. But it is one of those kind of altering experiences and awarenesses. When you do see it, it kind of makes you doubt yourself a little bit sometimes. And it's kind of like reassuring that you have these exercises that you can help to develop and increase in that awareness so that as it happens, and it happens more frequently, you develop that confidence that you're not seeing things, that it actually is happening.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Now, with the with auras, and you go into a lot of detail in regard to how to have more clarity and peace of mind, and actually just a kind of a relaxed feeling within yourself when you can work with auras. Say we have a blocked chakra. And our aura is a little frazzled. It's not coming through really as beautiful or clearly as normally we would because we've got a little bit of a block. Is there a way we can help clear that?
Mm-hmm. Yes. I mean, I have exercises in if you want to unblock a chakra, for example. I do have specific healing affirmations and prayers in my book, The Power of Chakras. If you want to clear out an anomaly in your energy field, for example, if you have psychic ties, if you have psychic plates, psychic shackles, psychic hooks, psychic nets, facade bodies, there are many, many different kinds of anomalies that are in the human energy field that can be healed through using specific affirmative prayers that I actually have in my book, The Power of Auras. what I could teach your audience right now would be one of these healing prayers that would help to maintain the purity and integrity of your energy field in any given situation, just kind of like preventive measures and a way to keep your energy field strong and powerful and to not be what we call a psychic sponge. A psychic sponge is a person who absorbs the energy around them as a sponge absorbs water. So what happens is that person, and I know that there are a lot of you out there listening right now, that what happens is you get up in the morning, you start your day. As soon as you encounter someone, the first person you encounter, you start to feel like that person is draining your energy. And as you go through your day, you continue to get your energy drained more and more and more. You feel like people around you are like psychic vampires that are just sucking you dry. You just feel that you're getting more and more exhausted as you go through the day because you're so sensitive to the subtle energies of everyone around you that it's like those energies are just glomming onto your energy field. They're just glomming onto your aura and causing you to feel extremely, extremely debilitated all around you. So they're like sucking you. They're just taking your energy from you. And that's what I call a psychic sponge. So a psychic sponge is somebody that just gets drained. And then at the end of the day, all they can do is just lie on their bed completely exhausted. They feel like they've been dragged through the mud all day, just like a wet mop or something. And so it's very disconcerting. And so I'm going to give you a little affirmation that you can say that will really help you and that will prevent you from being drained by the vibrations around you, by the people and vibrations around you.
Great.
So this affirmation goes like this. And when you say this affirmation, just pretend as though your higher self is saying this affirmation rather than your ego self. Just pretend as if it is your highest self, your true self is saying this affirmation as you say it. All right, so it goes like this. I am in control. I am one with God. I am the only authority in my life. I am divinely protected by the light of my being. I close off my aura and body of light to the lower astral levels of mind, and I open to the spiritual world. Thank you, God, and so it is.
So it is. That's powerful words. Those are powerful words. I felt that. Now, you bring a lot of these affirmations into your third book, Instant Healing, and a lot of it is to reaffirm the inner core, the inner strength, empowering the self. But you have a lot of those very strong, empowering I am statements in here. And
right. Exactly.
And also the so it is. So it declares it, it reaffirms it at the end.
Right.
And
mm-hmm.
So what can we learn from that in regard to the first, the I am statement, and then the so it is at the end? Let's talk
exactly.
a little bit about how it anchors that.
Yeah, I'm so glad you asked about that, Lisa. So the I am, the I am is a mighty I am presence. I'm sure that many of your listeners remember from the Bible that when Moses was with the burning bush and he saw the burning bush and then he asked and he was given some instructions by God who used to speak to him directly, obviously. And God said to him, you have to go to the Pharaoh and give him a message. And Moses said, well, who shall I say sent me, you know, when I speak to the Pharaoh? And God said, the I am. I am that I am. The I am sent you. So from that, Yud Hey Vov Hey, I am that I am, that is the mighty I am presence. It's the power of God within you, basically. So when you're using the statements, when you're using the words I am, anytime you say the words I am, you are actually invoking the power of God within you. So whatever you say after you say those words, I am, is something that you had better want to own. You had better want to manifest in your life, because you're using, you're invoking manifestation power every time you say those words. So if you go around saying, oh, I'm so fat, I'm so fat, I'm so fat, or, oh, I'm so poor, I'm so poor, I'm so poor, guess what?
Right.
You're going to manifest that through the power of the mighty I am. So you'd better say something like, I am happy, I am joyous, I am fulfilled, I am living my best life, I'm living my perfect life. You know, just say something that is really powerful, that is positive, because that is the power of manifestation that you are invoking. So in my book, Instant Healing, I have many of these I am statements. In fact, the book is filled with the I am statements. The Instant Healing book has 243 affirmative prayers. Okay, I taught you one just now, that really powerful self-authority affirmation, which is so amazing that I prescribe it for people to use on a daily basis several times a day, especially if you're feeling intimidated, if you're feeling weak, if you're feeling like you need a little bit of positive boost in your life. You know, use that self-authority affirmation. Instant Healing book, 243 of these different subjects, all different subjects are covered. So physical, mental, emotional healing on all levels. Now you asked about the and so it is. All right, so when we use this method of affirmative healing or affirmative prayer or scientific prayer or spiritual mind treatment or just treatment, when we use this method, which I didn't make up, it's not something that I just invented out of my head. This is something that has been being used for a very long time. So when you use these statements, after you have convinced yourself of this truth, because what you're doing when you say affirmative prayer is you're just speaking statements of truth, basically. You're speaking affirmations, which are statements of truth. And once you've convinced your mind that all of this is true by saying these statements, then you thank God for it and you release it. The and so it is a release. The release is actually the most powerful part of the prayer, because you're releasing it into the spiritual law, which then acts upon it so that it will manifest. So the reason I call this instant healing is because these prayers, they work instantly. You're immediately going to feel better when you use them.
And there's a power with the words. And you know, you were saying how once you use I am, make sure you really know what you want to follow that, because words are powerful. And, you know, we learned a lot about this with Florence Shin years ago. I think it was like the turn of the century, wasn't it, with Emmett Fox?
Exactly.
I mean, Emmett Fox. She was like a pioneer, I mean, with you know, really
the
power of words. And so this is like really reigniting us in what we already know. I mean, it's basically letting us re-remember what we already know. And we need this, Susan. Your books are very, very important. These are powerful books.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. This is, you know, I'm going through them with you right now, and I read all of these over the last couple of months. And even in going through the I am with you now, I can still feel this power. I mean, it's an incredible power. So let me discuss the books again in a little bit of a slower pace here for the audience so they can write this down. I have three books here by Dr. Susan Shumsky. Her last name is spelled Shumsky. And we have The Power of Auras, and we have The Power of Chakras. And then we have Instant Healing. And all three of these are truly incredible books for helping you understand yourself, your energy, and helping you to take a more of a mindful approach to directing your energy in a positive way versus letting it spew out all over there in a haphazard, rudderless way. And then to top it all off, we have Instant Healing. So wherever we have a little bit of a gap, you can tune into Susan's book on instant healing, and you can feel and go over these incredible, powerful prayers and powerful statements and affirmations that she has here. Now, Susan, what are your favorite aspects to work with as a teacher in metaphysics? I know you work mm-hmm. with so many different aspects, but what is your favorite?
Right. My favorite is helping people through meditation to listen to the still small voice of God within, to develop their ability to receive divine messages, divine healing, divine inspiration through simply receiving the messages from the still small voice. So that's what I main thing I teach, which is a method that I call divine revelation.
And it's allowing your soul a deeper connection through meditation. Is that right? It's a it's basically mm-hmm. teaching others how to really deepen their connection. I mean, you're unleashing this incredible potential within everybody. And
right.
what are some of the things that you see in your with your clients and your groups in regard to when they first touch upon this new aspect or awareness?
Mm-hmm.
Is there something they all feel? Is there more of an emotional peace, a release? I mean, of course, there's different aspects, but what's the overall benefit that you see in a group setting?
Right. So when people begin to be in contact with their higher self or God within them or whatever you want to call it, their inner teachers, when they begin to receive divine feelings, divine messages, divine light, divine love, the divine presence, when they hear the voice of God, when they see the vision of God, when they feel the feelings of what that feels like to be in touch with God, the incredible feelings of love and comfort and solace, it's an extraordinary experience because no longer do they feel alone. Now they
right.
have like an inner being. They have a in-house counselor, so to speak, that they can turn to any time to ask any question and receive a clear divine answer to that question and receive divine guidance to help them make wise decisions with to navigate through life with the help of an inner counselor or an inner guide or whatever you want to call it, spiritual guide within them. So this is incredibly powerful when you have this access, when you have this contact. So what you're doing really is developing God consciousness. You're developing God realization or self-realization or whatever you want to call it. What you're doing is you're fulfilling the goal of what has been talked about always from ancient times as realizing God or realizing the true self. And that's what I teach. That's what divine revelation is about. It's about self-realization. It's about becoming spiritually awakened. It's about knowing who you really are and developing your ability to have a direct contact and communication with God in whatever form you believe God to be. Which sounds really fantastic. It sounds, you know, unbelievable. It sounds like it's impossible, but in fact it isn't impossible. It is possible for every living human being to tap into their true self, and it's not that difficult to do it either, by the way. It's quite easy.
Right.
It's
our divine
really
right.
It is. And it's just a matter of getting quiet and still by taking a few deep breaths, getting centered, taking some more deep breaths, getting into just a quiet state of body and mind by taking the deep breaths, and then simply asking. You ask. That's the whole key. The whole secret is that you ask. You ask a question, or you ask for guidance, or you ask for inspiration. You ask specific questions is the best way to start that flow of divine guidance. And then you take another deep breath, and then you do what I call the do-nothing program. That means you do nothing, nothing and less than nothing, and then the still, small voice of God will begin to speak to you. It will begin to show you visions. It will begin to give you words or begin to give you feelings. Some people are more clairvoyant naturally. They see things. Some people are more clairsentient, they feel things. Some people are more clairaudient, they hear things. So depending on what each individual is like, and depending on your natural propensities, you're either going to see, feel, or hear that inner divine guidance. And then that flow will begin. And as long as you don't turn off the faucet, keep practicing it and using it, I suggest using it on a daily basis, then you're going to develop tremendous ability very quickly to listen to the still small voice within, to receive divine guidance, divine inspiration, and to transform your life in very powerful, positive ways very, very quickly. This is it's like the fast track to spiritual awakening and spiritual enlightenment. And that's what I help people to do. That's my specialty,
wonderful.
One of my specialties.
That's, well, good, wonderful. That is wonderful, Susan. Now, how can the audience get in touch with you? Your website, where would you like to send
mm-hmm.
them so they can sign up for your work?
Okay. So I have a website, drsusan.org. That's drsusan.org. That's easy enough to go to, just drsusan.org. And then also I have another website called divinetravels.com. That's divinetravels.com. Now, at each of these websites, I suggest you subscribe there. Just put your email address in there in the box there on those web pages. Because if you do that, you're going to get a free guided meditation, online meditation, and you will be notified about amazing, for example, for divine travels, you're going to find out about the tours and retreats to sacred destinations. You're going to find out about the cruise ship seminars and conferences that are spiritual in nature, spiritual conferences, spiritual retreats, amazing tours to places like Machu Picchu and Egypt and Bali and other sacred places throughout the world and retreats in, for example, Sedona or Mount Shasta, the Tetons, the Sonoran Desert, the Redwood Forest, and just beautiful places that have amazing vibrations that where we meditate together and we have amazing spiritual experiences together. And then, of course, if you go to drsusan.org, you can read the first chapter of all my books there on that website. You can listen to free teleseminars and free teleconferences. You can attend my weekly prayer circle that I have on Saturday morning where we pray for people and individually pray for people. And also you're going to find out a lot of information on that website, drsusan.org.
Wonderful. Susan, thank you so much for being my guest on Unlimited Realities today. It has been quite the learning. I mean, I'm absorbing everything, all the lessons, all the little tricks and guides and guidance. I mean, you've really offered this audience tremendous insights, like going to one of your classes today. So thank you for that.
Well, you're welcome. I've enjoyed it tremendously. Thank you.
It's been wonderful. Thank you so much. And these books are incredible. I urge all of you, audience, if you're looking to develop, to evolve, to understand your chakras, your auras, instant healing, affirmations, to really feel moved and shifted, go out and grab Dr. Susan Shumsky, Amazon. You can read what connect with her on her website. And thank you again so much for being my guest, Susan. God bless you. Have a wonderful week. Audience, have a great week, and we'll talk again next week. Bye-bye.
Thank you.